Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of Ephesians, The Mystery Revealed. In this session, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, prayer for revelation. Sometimes people need help seeing what they already have. Paul's prayer in our text is that God enable believers to grasp the fullness of their spiritual blessings. Essentially, spiritual enlightenment. This is intercessory prayer at its best. He says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened in verse 18. The apostle expressed a desire for others to have an inner spirit-given understanding of spiritual truth. And why? Well, for wise and practical lifestyles. Look at verses 15 and 16, which reveal Paul's motivation. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What about you and me? Think about this for a moment. What about you and me causes others to thank God? What is it? What about others prompts you to show thanks to God? It was faith and love that moved Paul to express gratitude, to express faith in the Lord and love for all the saints. What was the prayer? Well, read verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Proper prayer begins in heaven with adoration and works toward earth in concern for needs. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 down to verse 30 of the early Christians. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one another and said, Lord, You are Lord who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against your servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. We have in Ephesians a powerful model of intercession, beginning with a desire for believers to know God better. A personal, intimate, ongoing awareness type of knowledge. And how can that kind of knowledge of God happen? Only through a spiritually enlightened heart. To that end, Paul made three requests in his prayer. Three requests in this prayer of our session. First, that Christians know the hope of God's calling. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? What a beautiful picture of the eyes of our heart fully focused on Jesus Christ. And why? So that we can realize all God has for us. hope speaks of the goal of salvation, His kingdom. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. His eternal glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. A deep, inward enlightenment to the hope of His calling. Living, kingdom living with the future hope of glory. Amen. That Christians know the hope of God's calling. And second, in his prayer, that Christians know the riches of God's inheritance. Again, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. An inheritance which flows from God as a possession, or which flows to Him. Our inheritance from God, God's inheritance by us. We have been made co-heirs of Christ Himself, which should be motivation to godly living. How ungrateful it would be to take God's grace for granted. And then the third part of his prayer is that Christians know the greatness of God's power. Verse 19 down to verse 21. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. His power. Not just power, but His power. It's power for life, from salvation to glory. Paul described it as with the words exceeding greatness. That incredible power, he said, that power, His power, resides in believers due to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The apostle explained that the power was, he explained that power by using an illustration. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That power rendered death totally helpless. And listen, that same power dwells within us. And what is the extent of this power? Well, look at verses 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. All things. The whole universe, physical, spiritual, good, evil, angels, demons, time now, time to come. That is all things. This passage contains the first mention of the church as Christ's body. It's repeated seven more times in this book of the Ephesians. This power raises believers to a new level of spiritual life. Overcoming wrong desires. Triumphing over sin. Listen, he wants you to be enlightened to these realities so that you may live a victorious life in him. You have a great day.